You're listening to There You Are, Jesus, the podcast and blog that gives you evidence of modern-day interactions with God and our loved ones who now live in God's kingdom. We're Bible-based, but focused on today, here and now, what God's doing during our lifetime. Our evidence ranges from irrefutable eyewitness to circumstantial coincidence. From regaining consciousness between death and cardiopulmonary resuscitation to multi-layered coincidences that occur with a little too much relevance, timing, and repetition to be anything other than divine synchronicity. There You Are, Jesus has several priorities, and the first and foremost is to deliver the message I was given at God's throne during my momentary death before being medically resuscitated, which is to tell you about the seven spirits of God, because they are far more important to our eternal life than they are in our human life here on earth. So I will name them at the end of this podcast. And since we have a wide range of evidence to share with you, we are rotating categories, evidence from different categories, from podcast episode to episode. So today, we're going to do a quick look at the major events of Holy Week, Palm Sunday through Good Friday crucifixion, and Easter Sunday resurrection. Also going to give you an example of how God communicates with us and a lesson learned from that communication, as well as my very first ever AI-generated prayer, artificial intelligence. I went into ChatGPT and asked it if it could write a prayer for the seven spirits of God. And it did. Wait till you hear this coming up in this episode. First, the major events of Holy Week. It involves 8 days. Day one is Palm Sunday. And Monday, Jesus clears the temple. Tuesday in Jerusalem at Mount Olives. Silent Wednesday. Maundy Thursday with the Last Supper. Good Friday's trial, crucifixion, death, and burial. Saturday in the tomb. And Resurrection Sunday, also known as Easter. Now, here's a brief explanation of each of these 8 days before I get into the lesson learned from the coincidence that occurred, and then followed by the prayer for the seven spirits of God generated by artificial intelligence. It's amazing. But Holy Week, day one, Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem on the Sunday before his death, a week before, knowing that soon he would lay down his life for the sins of the world. Jesus sat on a young donkey, slowly, humbly entered into Jerusalem. Crowds welcomed him by waving palm branches in the air and shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Palm branches in the air. That's how it became known as Palm Sunday. Holy Week, day two is Monday. That's when Jesus clears the temple. And Jesus is returning with his disciples from Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany. Those are two towns, two neighboring villages that are located about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. So they came back from Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany. When Jesus arrived at the temple, he found the courts full of corrupt money changers who were buying and selling goods in the open market. He began overturning tables, clearing the temple, saying, "The scriptures declare my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves." That's out of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, 1946. All right, Holy Week, day three, Tuesday. They're in Jerusalem at Mount Olives. So on Tuesday, Jesus and his disciples headed back into Jerusalem, about a 2-mile walk. Once at the temple, religious leaders aggressively challenged the authority of Jesus, attempting to ambush him and create an opportunity for his arrest. Scripture indicates that Tuesday of Holy Week was the day Judas Iscariot negotiated with the Sanhedrin court to betray Jesus. That's written in the Gospel of Matthew. So after a very trying day, a tiring day of confrontation and warnings about the future, once again, Jesus and the disciples stayed the night in Bethany. Okay, the next day is day four of Holy Week. The Bible doesn't say what Jesus did on Wednesday, and it's speculated that after two exhausting days in Jerusalem, he and his disciples spent Wednesday resting. Well, they had a lot of friends and followers in Bethany and Bethpage because Jesus had recently revealed to his disciples that he had power over death and demonstrated that by raising Lazarus from the grave. After seeing this miracle, many people in Bethany and Bethpage believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God. They put their faith in him, so he had a nice, comfortable place to be to rest on Wednesday. Day 5, Thursday, Passover, Last Supper, and Thursday is called Maundy Thursday. From Bethany, Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to the upper room in Jerusalem to make preparations for the Passover feast, also known as the Last Supper. This is Thursday night, the day before his crucifixion. And that evening after sunset, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as they prepared for the Passover meal, as an example to them how he wants them to love and care for one another. And today, some churches practice foot washing ceremonies as part of their Maundy Thursday services. And then Jesus shared the feast of Passover with his disciples, as it is written in the Gospel of Luke 22:15-16, saying, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." As the Lamb of God, Jesus was about to fulfill the meaning of Passover by giving his body to be broken and his blood to be shed in sacrifice, freeing you and I from sin and death. During this Last Supper, Jesus established the Lord's Supper, or communion, instructing his followers to continually remember his sacrifice by sharing in the elements of bread and wine. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, and saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." That's out of Luke 22. Late that evening in Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, who kissed Jesus to identify him to the Sanhedrin court members, who then arrested Jesus and took him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the whole council had gathered to begin making their case against Jesus. Next day was Good Friday, day 6. That's the trial, crucifixion, death, and burial. Good Friday is the most difficult day of all for Jesus, and these final hours leading to his death that led to the resurrection of Jesus and his victory over death and sin and the celebration of Easter, it's the very pinnacle of Christian celebrations. Jesus endured the shame of false accusations, condemnation, mockery, beatings, abandonment, and was sentenced to death by crucifixion, one of the most horrible ways to go. Before Jesus was led away, soldiers spit on him, tormented, mocked, and pierced him with a crown of thorns. Then he had to carry his own cross to Calvary, where again he was mocked and insulted as the Roman soldiers nailed him to the wooden cross. While his hands and feet were nailed to the crucifix, Jesus spoke 7 final statements from the cross. Note that it's 7. Once again, the number 7. He spoke 7 final statements from the cross, and this is what they were. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. And Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That's 7 statements. And day 7 of Holy Week, it's Saturday, in the tomb. The body of Jesus lay in the tomb where it was guarded by Roman soldiers throughout the day on Saturday, known as the Sabbath. Nicodemus and Joseph were members of the Sanhedrin court, which had condemned Jesus to death. And for a time, both men had lived a secret life of following Jesus, but afraid to make a public profession of faith because of their prominent positions in the Jewish community. So both of them were deeply affected by his death, and they boldly came out of hiding, risking their reputation and their lives because they realized that Jesus indeed is the long-awaited Messiah. And together they cared for Jesus' body while it was in the tomb. And while his physical body lay in the tomb, Jesus paid the penalty, the ultimate penalty for sin, by offering a perfect, spotless sacrifice. Then he conquered death, both spiritually and physically, securing our eternal salvation. And I added, while I was transcribing scripture, I added one sentence, and this is it. An eternal salvation, which I believe, John LaVey, is ours only if we truly believe in our hearts that Jesus did conquer death. Okay? I added that one line to what is everything else is scripture. Remember that one line, because I'm coming back to it in just a minute. And Holy Week, Day 8, Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This is the culmination of the Passion Week, Holy Week. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event of the Christian faith. The very foundation of all Christian doctrine hinges on the truth of this event. Early Sunday morning, several women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joanna, Salome, and they're all mentioned in the Bible, went to the tomb and discovered that the large stone covering the tomb's entrance had been rolled away. And there was an angel at the entrance who announced, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen, as written in the Gospel of Matthew 28, 5 through 6. On the day of his resurrection, Jesus made at least five appearances. Mark's Gospel of Mark, says the first person to see Jesus was Mary Magdalene. Jesus also appeared for Peter, to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and later that day to all of the disciples except Thomas, while they were gathered in a house of prayer. The eyewitness accounts, as documented in numerous Gospels, provide a preponderance of evidence that the resurrection of Jesus Christ really did happen. And 2,000 years later, followers of Christ still flock to see his empty tomb. Okay, now, let me get back to the reason why I asked you to remember that one sentence I added to Scripture for Day 7. While transcribing the events, I decided to add one single sentence to that Scripture, how I felt it would clarify the meaning. However, when you add something to Scripture, it kind of felt like it could be a sin. So I was worried, should I do this? No. So I didn't want to make a mistake, but I decided to go with what I felt in my heart, and I felt I should add it. The sentence that was added is an eternal salvation, which I believe, John LaVey, that is ours only if we truly believe in our hearts that Jesus did conquer death. So when I finished transcribing the entire week, all 8 days, I proofread what I typed and found something extra that had been added to the one line that I added. Without me knowing, which is shown in the written version of this post, but I will describe it for you here on the audio version, the podcast episode. And that something extra is a typo, a mistake, one character. But here is my point. Of all the characters on the keyboard I was using to type into the computer, the plus sign was the key mistakenly hit. What is significant about this is that the plus sign is also used as a symbol of Jesus Christ by way of representing the cross, the crucifixion cross. So think about this a little bit more so you can realize how unlikely this is. Of the 103 different characters on the particular keyboard I was using, 21 of them are keys that have two different characters, depending on whether or not the shift key is used in combination with them. Those 21 keys with two different characters total 42 of the 103 different characters on the keyboard. And only one of those 103 characters is also known as a symbol of Jesus Christ, that being the plus sign to represent the cross. In order for me to have mistakenly interjected a symbol of Jesus Christ after the one and only sentence I added to the biblical scripture I was transcribing, I would have had to have used the shift key in combination with the equals/plus key simultaneously and without realizing it, Otherwise, the mistake would have been an equal sign if I hadn't used the shift key rather than a plus sign. The fact is, that didn't happen. It's just too many layers of coincidence for that theory to be plausible. However, from the human perspective, rather than the spiritual perspective, it is equally implausible that God placed the plus sign there. Yet there it is. A sign of God, a sign from God's Son, our Lord and Savior, appearing by surprise right after the one and only sentence I thought I should add, but was afraid to do so. It's like he was giving me a thumbs up, like, it's okay, I'm with you. So when I set out on a mission like I have to document evidence of two-way communications between heaven and earth, and you continually find surprising signs of circumstantial evidence like this, when does it become a preponderance of evidence, proving beyond a reasonable doubt that Jesus Christ likes interacting with us as we learn about him? Here's the lesson learned with that plus sign appearing after my one addition to Scripture. The lesson I learned is God sometimes speaks softly.
Here you are.
Now, let me share with you what I learned about AI, artificial intelligence. I went online and used it for the very first time. First thing I ever asked it to do, I went to ChatGPT, and I simply said, can you write a prayer for the seven spirits of God? Here's what I got. Divine Creator, source of all light and wisdom, we come before you with reverence and awe, seeking the guidance of your seven spirits, whose presence illuminates our path. Spirit of wisdom, grant us discernment, that we may understand the mysteries of your creation, and walk in the ways of truth and understanding. Next is the Spirit of Understanding. Open our minds to comprehend the depth of your teaching and to embrace the beauty of your wisdom. Number 3, Spirit of Counsel, guide us in our decisions that we may choose what is just and right and navigate the complexities of life with grace. Next one is Spirit of Fortitude. In place of might, AI, ChatGPT, artificial intelligence, chose the word fortitude. So, Spirit of Fortitude, strengthen our resolve to face challenges with courage and resilience and to persevere in the pursuit of righteousness. Next up is Knowledge. Spirit of Knowledge, enlighten our hearts that we may know you more deeply and grow in intimacy with your divine presence. Spirit of Piety. AI replaced Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ with Spirit of Piety. Inspire us to reverence, to honor you in all things, and to live lives of devotion and worship. Spirit of Fear is the final. Spirit of fear of the Lord, instill in us awe for your majesty and holiness, and lead us to walk humbly in your presence. May your seven spirits dwell within us, guiding us in wisdom and grace, and may we reflect your light in all that we say and do. Amen. I'm John LaVey on There You Are Jesus, publishing evidence of modern-day interactions with God. You can contact me directly, and I ask that you do with any suggestions, any comments, any contributions. Would love to share what you have on There You Are Jesus by emailing me at this address, john@thereyouarejesus.com. That's john@thereyouarejesus.com. Thank you for listening to There You Are Jesus.
There You Are.